Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Brady.
And hour number three, this is Lock and Load, and we're going to speak now with Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yes, sir. I saw this, and most of the time, and I say this simply because this is you wandering into the pseudoscience of people trying to interpret the Second Amendment in various ways. And, let's talk about this very silly argument you are putting together. So what is
that I read what the other side says. I don't think they read what we say very often, but I read what their arguments and what they put forward and how they try to justify themselves. And I've seen this argument put forward before. And it sounds a little bit, superficially reasonable until you look at it with any kind of depth. And the argument put forward is that the newly formed government, or the founders who created the new constitutional government, would never have created an amendment with the purpose of destroying the government they just created. And what they claim is the idea that the Second Amendment was put in there as a means of overthrowing a government. Well, that's just crazy, because no government, nobody who made a government, would ever put in a means of overthrowing the government. But that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I'll read the exact words. This is from what I call the far left Eugene Weekly, Eugene, Oregon, weekly.com. That newly, now they're claiming that the narrative about this was just recently created, which is another fiction, but that newly created narrative included the supposed purpose of arming citizens in order to enable them to rebel against the very constitutional government which the founders were establishing with its checks and balances. This, despite the founders having defined treason as taking up arms against that very government. And then they go on, they say, but this glaring contradiction persisted and found a home within the halls of the Supreme Court, whose collective wisdom may have suffered from the influx of unreported gifts by billionaires to a number of justices weighing in on the question.
Right.
So what they're claiming is that, well, nobody would put in a system to overthrow the government they're creating, but I think they're what's called projecting. They're projecting the way they would act to come the way the founders would act. And I'm going to quote right from the article. It doesn't appear, the writer of this argument does not appear to have read the history of the Revolutionary War, the Federalist Papers, the arguments surrounding the Bill of Rights, the rudiments of the political theories the Constitution is based on, or the Constitution itself. Knowledge of any one of these fields proves ample refutation of the argument above.
Right.
And it's true, because they even talk about it in their argument. They say, well, this said it was government of checks and balances, Well, why wouldn't you include another check? I mean, you already put in some. Why wouldn't you put in another one? I mean, that's just silly. But here, and I'll go through them in order as I presented them, because any one of them is an adequate refutation of this silly argument. And one of the principal causes of the Revolutionary War, I would say the proximate cause, was the attempt by the government of England, particularly the king, the crown, to disarm the colonists. I mean, what started the shooting war was very clearly the attempt by the army of the crown to attempt to confiscate weapons publicly and privately owned at Lexington and Concord. And that led to militias opposing the crown. And then we had this running battle all the way back to Boston, where the army of the king suffered a really pretty serious defeat. They lost a lot of people on the way back. And that was what really started off the shooting war with the colonists. I mean, all the militias formed up, the Minuteman showed up, and they defeated the crown in this battle, which basically the army says, now just fire a couple rounds at those silly colonists, they'll just run away. They don't have any backbone for a real fight. Well, this proved it, and it showed that the armies of the king were vulnerable and could be defeated. And that was a major part of the thinking of the people shortly after the Revolutionary War when the Constitution was written. They had just come through this major military conflict where they had defeated one of the foremost military, perhaps the foremost military power on Earth at the time. And they had gotten into the conflict in large part because that power wanted to disarm them. So the idea that they would just form another government and not put any kind of a check in there to prevent them from being disarmed in the future seems kind of silly itself. And then, while the Constitution was in the ratification process, when there were arguments for and con by Federalists and anti-federalists, we had people who were talking about it, talking about the advantage of having an armed people because they could rise up against the government and throw it out if they became tyrannical in the future. And here's Noah Webster in 1787. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops. And then you have James Madison, who not only was instrumental in writing the Constitution, but actually drafted the Bill of Rights as well. And he says, besides the advantage of being armed, which the Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, the existence of subordinate governments to which the people are attached and by which the militia officers are appointed forms a barrier against the enterprises of ambition, more insurmountable than any which a simple government of any form can admit of. I mean, and both those are talking about the ability of an armed people to throw out a government they don't like. So then the Bill of Rights was ratified in December of 1791. That's after the Constitution was ratified. And the reason...
Let me get you to hold, if you would be so kind. We've got the first break coming up. This article is at amaland.com, where Dean has nearly 2,200 plus... Well, he doesn't have nearly, he has over 2,200 other articles. All covering every aspect of the gun culture as it is today. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Colster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Colster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Colster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Colster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This is how we do every day.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at gcnfreecbd.com. That's gcnfreecbd.com. Again, gcnfreecbd.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load. And one thing I want to point out, this is the premiere, the first episode to ever be on the Odyssey app, which Dean is doing with me. This whole episode today will be on the Odyssey app as well as in the other places it is distributed as a podcast. So this is a first for you today, Dean.
Good.
I don't know why I was about to call you. I was about to call you lean. I don't know why I was about to do that.
Okay. It doesn't matter as long as we get the podcast.
As long as we get it put together, that's right. I had to interrupt you while you were in the middle of your oratory, so please, if you would, pick that up.
Well, we were talking about this silly argument that the founders would never have authorized an amendment which allowed the people, or had the purpose of allowing the people to overthrow the government that they were creating. And we mentioned that this is ridiculous because they had just gone through a nasty war, one of the major causes of which was the government they were revolting against had tried to disarm them. So the idea that they would not put in any protection against being disarmed in the future is kind of silly. And then we talked about how during the debate of the ratification of the Constitution, that in the Federalist Papers, the people who were promoting the Constitution talked about how important it was for the body of people to be armed, because if the body of the people were armed, they could overthrow any government that became tyrannical. And one of the things that the anti-federalists, and these were the people who opposed the ratification of the Constitution, at least initially, and one of the things they demanded was that a Bill of Rights be added to the Constitution. The Bill of Rights was not part of the original Constitution. But as the debate went on in the colonies, as they looked at ratifying the Constitution, the people who were opposed said, well, we can go along if you guarantee that we will have a Bill of Rights included. And so the people pushing, the Federalists, said, yeah, okay, we will do that. Once we get the Constitution ratified, one of the first things we will do is include a Bill of Rights. And one of the things in the Bill of Rights to be included was a guarantee of the right of the people to keep and bear arms, the Second Amendment. And so it's kind of disingenuous to say that the people who formed the government also formed the Second Amendment, because that was forced on them by the people who demanded a Bill of Rights. And so after the Constitution was ratified, one of the very first things that was done is James Madison wrote up a Bill of Rights, and the Congress, they trimmed it down a little. I think there were originally 13 articles, and they trimmed it down to 10. And one of those was the Second Amendment. And they put it out for ratification by the people through the amendment process, which is not an easy process. You have to get three-quarters of the states. But the Bill of Rights was so popular, and it had been understood by the politicians and the people of the day, that was the deal. Okay, we'll give you the Constitution, but we have to have a Bill of Rights. And it was overwhelmingly approved by both the states and the people, and was ratified in 1791. So to say, well, the people who wrote up the Constitution would never put in a Bill of Rights that would allow people to overthrow the government that the Constitution put in, is utterly insane, because it wasn't the same groups of people. And the people who demanded the Bill of Rights had been opposing the idea of centralized government, and they thought that the federal government had too much power. So it's different groups of people. I mean, the level of ignorance that you have of the Revolutionary War, of the Federalist Papers, of the origin of the Bill of Rights itself and its purposes, and of the changes that were made in order to ensure that the American Second Amendment did not have the deficiencies that existed in the English Bill of Rights, you have to ignore all of that. You have to ignore the whole idea of natural law and of natural rights, which was central to the drafting of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And you just have to be ignorant, or you just lie, but I suspect in this case it's just ignorance. You have to be ignorant of all that to claim that the people who founded the American constitutional government would, of course, they never would have put in an amendment that would allow for the overthrow of that government. Well, it wasn't overthrow of that government specifically. It was the overthrow of any government in the future that became tyrannical. So I had seen this argument a number of times. So I thought this time, well, I need to explain why it is such a silly argument, because superficially, it sounds a little bit plausible. Oh, why would they put in a means to overthrow the government they're forming? Well, because they didn't trust people. They understand that people get corrupted, that governments become corrupted, that governments are apt to consolidate power and money to themselves over time and become tyrannical. I think it is projection on the part of leftists today, whose motto seems to be, once you get power, never let it go. And they are projecting that onto the people who set up our system with its checks and balances and means for peaceful transfer of power by the election method, and are just believing that, well, if I was in power, I would never create a system that would allow somebody else to kick me out of power. I'd consolidate power. I'd make sure nobody ever could kick me out. That's what I think we're getting.
What do you think about this idea where they try to take today's thought process and impose it on what happened in the 18th century? What do you think about that?
Well, it's just another form of propaganda.
Right.
And the people who are doing this are almost always, they're either ignorant, which is a lot. They don't bother trying to see or understand what the people back in the 18th
well, because
century were doing.
Hang on a second, because I was so saturated and immersed into what you were saying and talking about, I have been watching the clock once again. So let's head into the break, and when we get back, I'll ask that question again, and you can answer that question if you want to. Dean Weingarten is the biggest writer at AmmoLand, which is the biggest website of its type on the planet. The biggest gun blog there is, and he is the most prolific writer with 2,200 plus articles there in their archive, which doesn't count, I think, the nearly 2,000 or 3,000 others that he's got somewhere else. Even he doesn't know. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
I've seen just about every corner of this country, 3 million miles in my career. I spend a lot of hours on the road, but I love being my own boss. The road can be a beautiful place, but you're out here on your own. There certainly are risks. I'm Charles. I'm a truck driver, a husband, and a father. And that's why I choose Federal.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
USA News Update. Republican presidential hopeful Mike Pence is railing against President Biden's economic policies.
They've enacted policies that have literally lit the pilot light on the worst inflation in 40 years.
Speaking at the Indiana State Fair, Pence said the cost of living is rising due to Biden's failed policies. He laid out his plan to drive down inflation if elected, stating he'll end runaway spending in Washington. Gas prices hit a 9-month high. AAA reporting the national average for regular unleaded is $3.80 a gallon. That's 2 cents higher than it was yesterday, 12 cents higher than last Wednesday, and 27 cents higher than it was a month ago. Apple Card's interest-bearing savings account has reached $10 billion in deposits. The high-yield account offered by Goldman Sachs was launched back in April. Deposits earn an annual percentage yield of 4.15%. John Schaefer, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten, and once again, I had to interrupt him right after I asked him a question. What do you think about the fact that some people try to take their thought process today, Dean? And I'm going to presume, who are these people that are saying this? Which people on the left are saying that there's no way that the founders ever set up a form of government where it could be overthrown? Who's saying this?
Well, the article that I was quoting is from, the Eugene Weekly out of Oregon. And I've seen this argument in other places where people are trying to argue against the Second Amendment protecting arms that are useful in a military context. I've seen it several other places, and I can't recall those specific places, but it's by people who want to claim that military type weapons, or the idea that armed people would be able to prevent a tyrannical government from coming into power, or that they wouldn't be able to overthrow a tyrannical government, put forward. And these are people who don't like the idea of an armed citizenry, and they particularly don't like the idea of people being able to overthrow a government, because, in my opinion, the people who push this are people who see government as a form of God on earth.
Right.
They tend to sort of worship government, and government is the end all and be all and do all for everything. So anything that limits the power of government or might be used to limit the power of government is considered bad by them. And those are the people who are making this type of argument. Now, it's a silly argument. It really is, for anybody who actually reads the documents, studies the Revolutionary War, reads the Federalist Papers, considers how the Second Amendment was considered at the time of the ratification of the Bill of Rights, who looks at the process by way the Bill of Rights came into being, or considers the ideology that was endemic and accepted by all the founders to create the Constitution, which is the idea of natural law and natural rights. So if you have to be ignorant of all those things, or you can just lie, but I think it's mostly ignorance.
Yeah, you could just lie, I guess, yeah.
And we do have lots of people who just lie. I mean, the current president strikes me as someone who lies reflexively. He just lies all the time. I suspect he lies to himself. You know, he's lied about things so much for so long that he's lost the ability to differentiate between truth and falsehood. So whatever sounds best at a particular time is what he'll say.
Well, you know, I think to a certain degree, you know, the official story is that he got 81 million votes, which means he got more. And Trump got 75 million votes, which that vote total in and of itself in a fixed election was more votes than anybody's ever gotten before, right?
Right. Anybody. I think on a second term.
And Obama's second term, he got 65 million votes. So he believes, I think, he honestly is running around right now going, you know, I got 81 million votes.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, now this is interesting. I'll probably write an article about the number 81 million strikes me as interesting because that's the highest anybody has ever claimed.
Yeah.
Well, in a presidential election, 81 million, that's a huge number of votes.
Right.
And yet, we have, at the minimum, people are saying there's about 100 million donors in the United States. That's 30% of adults would be close to 100 million. Well, maybe 80 million. But, and then we have this research. I'll call it research because they put in the caveats. They explain what they don't know, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how many people have guns out there, but are reluctant to admit that they have guns for whatever reason. I call them shy gun owners, and it's always been hard to figure out how many shy gun owners are out there, because if somebody won't tell you they have a gun, how do you figure out how many of them there are?
Right.
So we figure, you know, somewhere about 80 to 100 million gun owners out there that admit it. But when you look at shy gun owners, they did this study and they said, well, we'll ask a whole bunch of questions and we'll figure out what gun owners tend to answer. And then we'll look at the people who say they don't have guns and see how those answers correlate to those people. And they found out that there could easily be twice as many gun owners as we thought. I mean, that was at the upper level. They figured we could easily have 60% of adults be gun owners, which would put the number, you know, like 150 million or so, or 160 million. And maybe even 200 million, because that's a big potential there. But they didn't measure, because it's not something, if somebody won't tell you they have a gun, how do you prove they have a gun? And we don't have a national registration system, and it's against the law to have a national registration system, and almost nobody wants a national registration, at least, that they will admit to. So when you consider that virtually every legal gun owner is a potential voter. I mean, there are a few resident aliens that can legally own guns, but it's not a very large number compared to the citizens that can own guns. And if you are a citizen that can own a gun legally, you can vote because you have to be 18 generally, and you have to not have a felony record. That's the way it's set up. So almost certainly more than half of voters in this country own guns. And it could be quite a bit more than half. That makes it much harder or much less reasonable for politicians to push a gun control agenda because they're going against the grain of a majority of voters in this country. So I just thought that was worth mentioning in there, that we just had this research recently, and it's not by some pro-gun organization.
No.
This was from an organization that's dedicated to reducing the number of guns in the country.
Makes you wonder how they allowed this to get out.
Yeah, it does. It makes me think, gee, maybe there are some researchers on the left that, you know, actually are...
Well, Gary Kleck.
Honest.
Gary Kleck is a very honest man.
He is. Kleck has done some outstanding research. And he stands by his efforts, and I think he does the best he can. It's a difficult field to do research in because of these numbers like shy gun owners. And of course, that also calls into question all the so-called research about, well, we have this, you know, proxy to approximate how many people have guns in this state, how many people have guns in that state. And this one has a few more guns than the other, and we can say that they have more people who commit armed robbery on alternate Tuesdays. And so, therefore, that shows that more guns equals more crime.
Right.
And all of that goes into question when you don't have, when the number of people who own guns is in serious doubt. And one of the things that survey, and I'll probably write about it, I haven't written about it yet, one of the things that they found out was that a lot of the people that they thought were very likely to have guns, but not tell people they had guns, were minorities, women of color, things like that.
Hang on for me. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. This article, of course, is at amaland.com. This is Lock and Load.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Last time on the firing line. This is Lock and Load. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. We're going to shift a little bit. Justice Alito got out there, and he's been convinced to give a stay to the ATF over the ghost gun rule. Tell me about this.
Yeah, this is mostly a pro forma thing, I believe, that, you know, it's just something that ordinarily would be done, and so they did it. And it doesn't amount to very much. I mean, we'll see what happens. But the Fifth Circuit has ruled, has issued an opinion, in a district court, I think it was Justice O'Connor, that the ATF doesn't have the authority to change the definition of what was considered receiver or frame, or to say that a collection of parts and some tooling that can be used to change those parts so you can make a gun out of them means that collection of parts and the tooling equals a gun. And the district court said, no, you can't, you don't have the authority to do that. So it was appealed to the Fifth Circuit. And the 3-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit were asked to put a stay on the ruling where they vacated the law. And they said, no, we'll put a stay on some stuff, but where they talked about receivers and frames, you changing the definition, or we talked about collections of parts and tooling being a gun, we're not going to change, we're not going to put a stay on that other than an administrative stay for 10 days. And they were a little bit slightly vague about what exactly was being stayed. And the Department of Justice with A.G. Garland decided to ask for an emergency stay. They had asked for an emergency stay by the Fifth Circuit, but the Fifth Circuit said, no, we're not going to give you an emergency stay because, frankly, we are pretty sure you're going to lose this at the Supreme Court anyway. And so they asked for an emergency stay, and the judge who oversees the Fifth Circuit for this type of administrative action is Justice Alito.
Right.
And Alito has been pretty good on Second Amendment issues. I think he's one of the two best on it. He and Justice Thomas. Thomas probably a little better, but they're both very good. And so the question was, would Alito grant this emergency stay? And it turned out very quickly he did grant a stay, but he didn't call it an emergency stay. He called it an administrative stay. And he put it, until the 4th of August, which turns out to be exactly one day more than the administrative stay that was put on by the Fifth Circuit. So it hardly grants any more time to the Biden Department of Justice. And it makes sense because he's just one judge, and this is a very contentious issue. And he probably said, you know, I probably should allow the government of the United States, because they're claiming, you know, this is a big problem and something has to happen right away. I should at least allow them to present their arguments to the court in a conference is what I think will happen, that the nine justices will meet in conference and look at it. And these arguments have all been gone over and over again and again, so there's almost nothing new here. It's just that the Fifth Circuit said, what a lot of people are saying, is that you can't just change the definition like this by yourself. And one of the reasons that they changed the definitions, in my opinion, is because they asked the Congress to change the law, and the Congress would not change the law. Well, if Congress isn't willing to change the law, that probably means you don't have the power to do it either. And now what the Biden administration says in this, in their application for the stay, is, oh my God, the sky is falling. All these ghost guns are being made, and they're going to go out in the community, and a lot of people are going to die if you don't give us this emergency stay right away. Well, it's not true. I mean, most of the guns, I mean, we've got over 400. I don't think there's anybody who really disputes we have over 400 million guns in the U.S. today. Probably getting very close to 500 million. According to my calculations, it's, you know, we're really getting close to the 500 million. And most of those are not traceable because after 5 or 6 years, the gun becomes pretty much untraceable. It may be a little bit longer, but at least half, I would say probably at least 200 million, maybe 300 million guns are out there where you can't trace them because the only thing the tracing does is tell you who the first person was sold to at retail. And then if that person dies and the guns go to an estate, there's no tracking. Or if they are sold to somebody else, there's no tracking. You don't have to keep records. We don't have a national registration system. And this idea that you somehow aid in stopping violent crimes by tracing a gun to the first retail owner is just doesn't hold up. What we see is tracing guns is a big waste of time. It does not aid in stopping crime. When we instituted the system back in 68, well, crime went up for about 3 decades. I mean, there's just no evidence that it actually helps any in solving violent crimes. Now, you might solve a crime of process, like, you know, it's illegal to sell a gun to somebody, or it's illegal for somebody to have a gun. The tracing really doesn't help a whole lot on that. And even places that have had full-blown registration, where you have this gun, you are only able to buy it with our permission. You can only have it with our permission. You can't sell it to anybody else unless we give you permission to sell it to somebody else. And then we know who that person is and we register who that person is. Even systems like that, the registration of guns almost never is useful in solving a violent crime. It just isn't. Canada had full registration of handguns for like 50 years, no longer than that. That was sort of the 1930s and they were asked, well, where are the crimes that were solved with this registration of handguns? And they thought maybe they could come up with one over that 50 plus years where maybe the registration might have made a difference in solving the crime. It's just not useful as a crime fighting tool, as much as we have been told that it is. As much as that they have tried to indoctrinate that into movies and television shows and stuff. Well, was this gun registered? I mean, it just, as a practical matter, it does not work. So, as much as they try to show this as some kind of an emergency requirement, the fact that a few thousand guns may be added to the national stock of a few hundred million that don't have serial numbers, well, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, there will be no significant effect, no measurable effect. And then, that's just funny because they make this claim that there were no ghost guns prior to 1968. And I'm going, he didn't even require serial numbers on most of the guns before 68. 68 is when you required serial numbers, and people have been able to make their own firearms without serial numbers from colonial days on. I mean, it's just silly. And we have lots and lots of reports of homemade guns being used in crime over time. I mean, I started collecting some of them back in the 1970s. And a lot of them are what you might call zip guns or improvised firearms, but they're still guns. They still kill people. It's just this idea that they have that the government control everything. If we just allow the government to control everything, everything will be wonderful and perfect and beautiful. And all we have to do is make sure the government controls who has the guns, and then the bad people won't get guns. That's ludicrous. It's silly. So I don't know what the Supreme Court is going to do. But they haven't given a lot of extra time to the government in this issue. And they did say that, well, you know, we want to allow people to respond to this, which would be the plaintiffs in this case, which has been very good at presenting their argument.
Just ran out of time, Dean. Thank you very much for joining me today. I'm sorry. I was listening too hard.
Well, that's always a positive thing for me. It means I'm doing my job.
There you go. This has been Lock and Load.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
When it comes to online gun shops, Primary Arms is one of America's largest retailers of new firearms, parts, accessories, and gear. They stock over 600 popular brands, all with everyday low prices and fast shipping. If you ever have any questions about a product, their team of product experts will help you make the right purchase. So, don't settle for less. Visit PrimaryArms.com today and see why so many gun owners make it their first destination for all of their firearm needs.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen
come
here.
Come on, lady. Get a move
goodness.
On. Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and you made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the group?
Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.